Thank you. And to Torloy Brown we go, LSU men's basketball beat writer for The Advocate. How you doing, Torloy?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
I'm confused, man. I got to tell you, I don't even know where to start with this. I was talking to Tim Zimmer about it, who mans Master Control, and my eyes have glazed over, and I'm trying to figure out where we are. Let's start with a snapshot of where LSU basketball is right now.
Yeah. So currently, LSU has four players signed to their roster. Will Wade has four, all of them college transfers, real simple clean, guys that are going to be juniors or seniors, all of them that are assigned to the team, one from Kentucky, a kid from Michigan State, a kid from Kansas State, and a point guard from UTSA.
Generally speaking, you need more than four people, don't you?
Of course.
Yeah.
So that's why the jokes have been flying. Only four signees, what's going on? So, it's slower on the, I guess LSU is, I won't say slow rolling, but they have to go through a bit more hoops in terms of getting more names on that roster officially. Feel fully secure, like this is our team. By all indications, when I spoke to a couple people with the team that are like in the know, they feel pretty confident, especially with the international players. So LSU has four more international guys that are committed that are as young as 20 years old, and I believe the oldest is either 24 now or is turning 24 later this year for the next college basketball season. And those four guys are good players. Those guys, again, they're not on the roster just yet, but these are experienced players that LSU internally feels pretty good that they're going to get eligible and be on the roster. And the latest now is that LSU just got a commitment from Sky Clark. He's a UCLA transfer, a combo guard, 6'3", a real productive player, and he's trying to get a fifth year of eligibility in I'm not sure if you know, but usually you don't get 5 years just to play college basketball. Even though the NCAA is trying to get to this new age-based eligibility rule, but they didn't want that to take into effect right now. But there's been a lot of lawsuits filed in different states, and there's even one that's in Colorado that's for a nationwide preliminary injunction for anyone that's a graduate in the high school class of 2022, which Sky Clark is. And right now, as it stands today, a court has granted a preliminary injunction for all nationwide for the class of 2022. Also, Sky Clark was a part of a lawsuit in California with like 70 or so players, and he was also granted a temporary restraining order, which is, again, like another layer of he's allowed to play college basketball for this upcoming season. So that was the latest that happened just yesterday.
So the injunction was for what?
Yeah, the injunction is for, in Colorado, the one that got a lot of headlines, it was for all these kids that want to play a fifth year of college basketball. The judge said if you were a high school graduate of 2022, which if they played 4 years means they were a senior just this past season, mm-hmm. then you get a fifth year of eligibility.
And what was...
There's also been... Oh, go
ahead. Go ahead, finish.
Yeah, and also, like, there's been other smaller, I guess not nationwide sort of... lawsuits, one in California, one in Ohio. The one that pertains to an LSU player was the one in California as well, where Sky Clark was one of 70 or so players that got a temporary restraining order that says, like, no matter what the NCAA's rules are, like, these guys are eligible to play right now for basketball.
What's the reason for the extra year of eligibility?
Yeah, so the reason is that the NCAA already is in the process of changing its rules. I believe that starting for, I think, this high school class that's entering, if I'm not mistaken, that they will have 5 years to play college basketball. So no more. They don't want too many people trying to apply to things. The NCAA on its own wants this 5 years, five for five is what they're calling it, to be done in, like, just all throughout college athletics. However, players that are just now graduating say that's not fair. How come they get 5 years but we don't, and we're just older and now it's, like, too late for us? So that's why these players want a fifth year, is because they think it's unfair that they only get 4 years while these other guys get five going forward.
When you say five for five, it's five players?
You got five seasons. Play five. Like, you can play, yeah, you can play five seasons.
To so play five what?
Yeah, each player has a chance to play five seasons once they start their college career. And it's either when you graduate high school or the year that you turn 19. like that's the like the start date for it. Is it like there's no more redshirts essentially? Like, you can't redshirt 2 years and then you can all of a sudden play 6 years. It's like a clean 5 years. Like, you can only play 5 seasons of whatever sport you are playing.
This
and
would
that's what the NCAA is trying to get instituted, but just not this early.
This would apply to all sports or just basketball?
All sports.
All sports. Okay. And how does it stand now, Toiloy?
Yeah. So right now, things are changing. I'm not a legal expert, so right. I don't know all the legalese terms. But as it stands right now, the Colorado case that has the preliminary injunction for all these 2022 high school graduates that are trying to get a fifth year, right now they're eligible as of today. So that affects college football, where a lot of these kids can like just play today that are going to be fifth years. That were 2022 high school graduates. It can change because the NCAA, again, I don't know all the legalese terms. The NCAA can ask for a motion to stay, which means that it wants to try to pause this, like timeout, let's not have this happen just yet. And I believe that was denied by the courts in that Colorado case. That's the one that's more wide-ranging. So right now, all these kids are eligible to play. It could change when it gets to basketball season, which is in a couple months from now. But that's why there are these smaller cases that are also like trying to push this. And Sky Clark, the LSU player that just got added, he's in the group in California that got the temporary restraining order granted.
So the idea is to keep people from being in college for 7 years playing sports?
Yeah, that's what the NCAA doesn't want. They don't want any more of these kids being 25, 26, trying to play college basketball. So it's just clean 5 years. And if you start college late, it doesn't matter. Your clock starts when you turn 19.
So we used to joke around about, you know, being 40 years old and not using any college eligibility, you can still go back and play. So that joke would not be valid anymore, right? Because
exactly.
The clock would start as soon as you graduated high school?
Yeah, so as soon as you graduate or when you turn 19, whatever comes first. So if you graduate high school at 20, let's say, your clock already started a year ago because you're already past 19. A big reason for this is also for the international players. They don't want international players getting 4 years of eligibility when they start college at 23. Right now, the status quo has been, okay, we'll allow you to play, but you're like it's been a little bit murky in terms of like you can be 22 and be a freshman. Like just last year, LSU had a player from Israel named Ron Zipper. He didn't play too much, but he was a 22-year-old that joined LSU's men's basketball team under Coach McMahon. Got cleared, whatever. But he was listed on the roster as a freshman. So it was always like a weird thing, like, huh, he's a freshman, but he's 22. Does that technically mean he can just play 4 years and then be 26 or so?
Mm-hmm.
So he might have turned 23 during this past season. So that's also why the NCAA wants to get this done. But they just didn't want it to be grandfathered in for this class that is now, like, they're supposed to be trying to get to the NBA or play overseas. Now all these kids are probably going to get back, play for a college basketball team for fifth season.
When it comes to international players, how does that jive with their high school system or whatever they have over there?
Yeah, the international system, it depends. The status quo has been that if you've never played college basketball before and you're not like 29 years old, it's not too difficult to be cleared. I do know that during this offseason, the NCAA sent some guidelines that they kind of want to nip that in the bud. However, guidelines are not letter of the law, not rules per se.
Mm-hmm.
So as it stands right now, like LSU feels pretty confident that their 22-year-old from Italy, their 6'7" forward, his name's Sal Yuniang, and other guys, like they're going to be able to play on the roster. It's just that there's maybe I'm not in those rooms, so I don't know like in terms of like the flights and moving and all these things. Like there's a couple more hoops to go through in order to go from wherever you are outside of the United States to play and get situated in Baton Rouge. What I was told is that during, or at least someone that is very in the know, that they expect things to sort of be more official closer to when the school year starts. And I believe the first day for LSU is the 24th. So I would expect maybe next week or maybe the week after some of these international guys are on campus, they're set up for like being students and stuff, and obviously ready to play basketball.
Yeah, because they got to be students and stuff, right? You got some point?
Yeah, for sure.
So what's the, do you know what the deadline for enrolling is?
I do not know that off the top of my head. I just know that LSU, at least when I last spoke to someone that was very aware, they expect these things to be sort of pretty set by next week, maybe the week after, but when school starts, essentially.
So you would think that the least of it is getting enrolled in school. I don't mean to be dismissive when I say that, but that would be the easier part of all of this, right?
Yeah, no, for sure. And I'm sure there's ways to do that online. I'm sure they're not, for the first time, going to sign up for LSU classes right when they get to Baton Rouge. I'm sure there's been whatever academic liaisons that Will Wade has set up with whichever player in order to get them straight. Because, yeah, like, there's technology that we have that they don't have to just be in Louisiana to now get a, like, start that process. But yeah, that's my answer to that.
So where are most college programs right now, basketball programs?
Yeah, so LSU is sort of in the minority in terms of having just four players officially on the roster. Most of these teams, if not all these, like, power conference teams, they have at least 10 guys, like, minimum 10 players that you know, like, okay, this is what the team is looking like. There's some, a lot of teams do have open roster spots or contemplating maybe not having a walk-on come on because of these fifth years where you could potentially get another guy that could help your team that might be looking for a home and is clear to play. But generally speaking, most of these college teams, the power conference ones, the high major ones, they have at least 10 dudes. They've had some sort of summer practice. Some of them are doing more than others. They're also keeping their eyes on these court cases to see, can we add a player or two? And if we do we have enough roster space for that?
How hard is it going to be to throw this thing together at the last minute?
For LSU? It depends. So LSU, if everything goes their way, and I should also mention they also have a commit named RJ Lewis. It also came out last night that he has a date for his preliminary injunction hearing.
That's the guy who played minor league for the Celtics?
Yeah, he played. He signed a two-way contract, got traded, then cut, and then never played in the NBA G League. Mm-hmm. So he was on the team technically, but he never played.
Okay.
I think he got cut like either after season start or like a little bit before that G League season. The thing with him, which is different than all these guys, is that he played college basketball, went to the NBA draft. So he even played a little bit of NBA preseason games, and that might be a little bit tricky. It's not an actual NBA game, but it's the preseason, and then he never played anything else after that. So now he's coming back, trying to play college basketball, and obviously trying to do that at LSU. And that court hearing for that preliminary injunction is on Monday. So we'll learn more about that. I've learned a lot about this.
It's crazy, man.
I've had to. It's very funny.
You need to go to law school to follow all of this. So
yeah,
is,
I feel like I'm getting my law school education right now.
Is the playing part the key part of that as far as the NBA goes? Having never played, you can sign, but if you play, that's when you're in trouble, and then that's where you're talking about preseason?
The NCAA part that they have an issue with is if you just sign a contract of any kind. So when he signed a two-way contract, which allows a two-way contract, for those who don't know, NBA deal that allows you to play at least half the games in the NBA, like the big program, mm-hmm. and the other half in the G League, you can't play over more than like 41 games unless you sign a full contract. That's not a two-way deal. So he signed a two-way contract with, I believe, the Utah Jazz, who then traded him to the Boston Celtics, who cut him, and then they got him on the G League team, and then he left the G League team because they released him. I guess I assume that he probably asked for his release because he probably thought, like, all right, I'm not making as much money as I hoped or get the chance to play in the NBA as I hoped. Let me try to get back to college. That's just speculation, and obviously he's trying to get back to college now, so it's very likely that that's the case. So the NCAA is upset or doesn't want him to play because, obviously, preseason games also is not a good look, but especially because he signed an NBA contract and especially because he played college basketball already. But it's very uncommon to have someone that played college basketball. He did it at St. John's, stayed for 3 years, two out of three at St. John's, and then leave, go to the NBA draft, go through that process, and then you want to come back. I'm not sure how much you remember of the Charles Bediako case when he was at Alabama, but it was a similar deal. Not exactly the same, but he went, played college basketball, undrafted. He even signed a couple more NBA contracts, if my memory serves, he was able to get a temporary restraining order to play. But then once it went to like the Alabama Supreme Court, that's when the judge there denied it because like, okay, you played in the G League, I believe. You signed multiple contracts. That's done. So the LSU case, if I have to guess, is that he only played 3 years of college basketball. So he didn't play a full four, and this wouldn't even be his fifth season. It would be his fourth in terms of actually playing college basketball if he's allowed, and that he didn't actually suit up in the G League or play an official NBA game. The NBA preseason is close. It's a little bit nebulous, but he didn't play technically an NBA game or G League game, and we'll find out. I guess what the update is on Monday, if his preliminary injunction is granted.
The season starts October 8th with McNeese. I got that right?
Yes, that's the exhibition game. And then I believe a few weeks later is when it's actually the regular season opener against LSU New Orleans.
Yeah, November 3rd, I think it is, the 9th or something, whatever it is. So I guess what I'm wondering is, how competitive can they be? That's what I meant by throwing this thing together at the last minute.
Yeah. Sorry, we got off track. Yeah, so... trust me, I'm not trying to say what everyone would love to hear. This is honestly how I feel. If everyone comes together, including R.J. Lewis, this is the top 15 team.
Really?
Because R.J. Lewis, for those that don't know, he was the Big East Player of the Year. He was a second-team All-American his last season of college basketball, which was 2 years ago now, and averaged 18 points. Really good defender too, 6'7", 210 pounds, somewhere around there. Even though he didn't make it in the NBA as far as like playing as much as he hoped, he's a really good college basketball player. Like no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He's a really good college basketball player. And these international kids, I can go into detail, but I don't want to like throw out too many names to confuse people because we just don't know them yet. But they have a center that's from France that's really good. Really good shot blocker, really good alley-oop catcher. They have an Italian wing that's a really good athlete. Think of like in the Tari Eason mold, where he's not necessarily like a pure bucket getter, but really good all-around player. A little bit of shooting, but not the best shooter, but a very good all-around player outside of the shooting. They got a kid from Brazil who's a good shooter at 6'9". And then they have a 7-footer that's also a good shooter who was on NBA radar. That's just in the international crop that LSU expects to get. And then the transfers they have, I'll just name one of the guys, Mo Diabate, Kentucky transfer. He started his college career at Alabama. He's a 6'7", very switchable forward. When he plays, he'll be one of the more impressive defenders in the SEC, if not just all in the country, because he can guard 1 through 5. Very physical, very athletic. So the point I'm making is that if this all does come together, as much as they won't have as much time to build that camaraderie, from a talent perspective, they're very loaded, and they're also very old. I believe R.J. Lewis is also 23, and the youngest player that would be playing is 20 years old, which is one of the international guys.
Crazy. Toy Law, you made it understandable, man. Thank you. I appreciate it. I hope you come back.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Thank you.
I can help, and I'll talk to you later.
All right, you bet. Toy Law Brown, LSU men's basketball beat writer for The Advocate. Crazy stuff, man. We'll talk to Jeff Nowak when we come back about the Saints here on WWL.